Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is WBC Boxing TV and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Gloves champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? I've always found out the average fan probably knows more. So I give you this opportunity at the top of the hour when I give you the toll-free phone line here to call and impart if you like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. I want to announce I'm excited about the fact we're now with the Vive TV network. Of course, rocking and rolling live on Vive TV. We've got all kinds of things going on as far as the distribution of this show is concerned. So I'm hoping for bigger and better things as we move into the future. Now, boxing, all kinds of good fights, and I think the star will be Virgil Ortiz Jr. Kid's undefeated, almost all. I think he's all knockouts. Bottom line is he's got a WBA title. But then again, we're going to talk about the WBA and their title system in a couple of minutes as well. Of course, since we are sponsored by the WBC, and I do want to mention that before I go into the WBA story a little bit later. Once again, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Want to mention the passing of a good guy, Anibal Miramontes. He was like the records guru for the IBF ratings guy, and he was with he had a bunch of record books he was working on. I think he was with Fight Facts for a while. Bottom line is, he was a great guy. He passed away. May he rest in peace. Our condolences to his family. You're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 37, make that 38 plus years now. I'm being often imitated, but check it, never duplicated. Check out for the next hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and find out why.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
Definitely need health care, and health care shouldn't be a privilege. It should be a right here in the United States of America. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Speaking of Don King, he will be 90 years old August 21st, I believe. Yeah, August 21st. We already did his, like, birthday. We did this video thing for him a couple of months ago. But anyway, the wire-haired wonder, the godfather of boxing, call him what you want, the godfather of boxing promoters, he's not answering the phone. In fact, he hasn't been answering the phone now for about 3 or 4 months, which sort of leads me to believe that maybe his health is starting to go. I'm not saying this I'm not saying that for on the record, but the bottom line is DK don't answer the phone. That's not right. We'll get to some of the fights a little bit later, but let me tell you what's going on today, the 14th of August, of course, Saturday, on Showtime. Guillermo Rigondeaux, two-time Olympian, a Cuban refugee, of course, Cuban exile, call him what you want, taking on John Riel Casimiro. Those guys are going to rock at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That's 10 o'clock Eastern time. That's going to be on Showtime. Of course, DAZN's going to go with Matchroom card. Joshua Batiste versus Richard Bolanikis, and that's going to come to us, I believe, on DAZN. Check out your schedule for that. Also on ESPN today, Joshua Franco and Andrew Maloney. I think that's a big rematch of a ripoff that went down about, I think, in 2020. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, that's brought to you by Master Bob Arum. And on DAZN as well today, the undefeated sensation, Virgil Ortiz. A lot of sensations in the world of boxing, right? Undefeated this, undefeated that, unbeaten that, unbeaten that, all knockouts. Well, Virgil Ortiz looks like Junior, looks like he's a real deal. With the exception of the fact that he and his father, I never seen anybody spell Virgil, V-E-R-G-E-I-L. I mean, it was always spelled different. Anyway, bottom line was always an I in there. But he's got an E-R in there. More power to him. Bottom line, he's undefeated. He's a monster. He's taking on a guy that's got a last name and a first name. You know, he should be just like John Doe. I want to call him John Doe, but his name is Egadajuice Cavala Laucas. How's that? That's pretty damn good. That's pretty close to it. Anyway, that's all going down on the 14th today. Next week, we'll talk about next week's card. Of course, Manny Pacquiao has got a new opponent for the 21st. It's going to be Yordi Ugas. Who is Yordi Ugas? Yordi Ugas is a perfect-looking athlete. I mean, if you looked at him physically, you say to yourself, God, this guy's got a beautiful body. But bodies don't win fights. And records don't win fights. And no matter what his record is on paper, the bottom line is he's probably been going to get in here and get lit up like the White House Christmas tree by Manny Pacquiao. That's right. I'm probably predicting Manny to ride on this, run on this guy. Why? Because last minute sub, they're not bringing in some guy that's going to be able to take Manny Pacquiao. But if you look at this the way Larry Merchant looks at it, the retired HBO godfather, he and I talked on the phone yesterday. His voice is getting better. He had laryngitis for a long time, a few weeks now. So anyway, he told me it sort of reminds him of Manny Pacquiao back in 2001 or whenever it was when he took on Ledwell Ledwaba for the IBF 122-pound title. He was an unknown guy. He was brought into this fight at the last minute. He was unknown, and he destroyed Ledwaba. Of course, that was the beginning of Manny Pacquiao, or the second coming of Manny Pacquiao, because he had previously held a WBC title at 112 pounds. Not too many people know about that. But the bottom line is, Pacquiao was now the champion at 122. He beat Ledwaba. And, of course, against Ugas, all Ugas brings is a good record, and that's probably about it. There's nothing else he brings to the dance. He's tall. He's lanky. As I said, he's got a good-looking body for a boxer. But hopefully, this is a competitive matchup, and these guys can go a few rounds as far as Manny Pacquiao and him, because he has a big natural welterweight, and Manny Pacquiao's never been big on the size factor. Remember, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. But anyway, and this is combat sports, but Manny Pacquiao going from Errol Spence. Of course, Errol Spence, let's talk about the reason why you pulled out of the fight. You and I talked about this, or we've talked about this for months, when I saw that picture of him being booked for the DUI, when his eye was all lit up, all the broken blood vessels in that right was, I guess his right eye, all those broken blood vessels in his eye. I mean, you could see it. I mean, you don't have to be no neurologist to figure out that he's, you know, had a concussion and a brain bleed, because that's what that blood in the eye means. That means there's been some bleeding going on, some internal bleeding. Anyway, so he survives the car accident at 115 miles per hour. I'm not trying to say that they didn't test him or they didn't give him the best physical examination as far as his eyes are concerned, but I'm willing to think that they didn't, because he spars with headgear on, spars with good-sized headgear on. I watch his sparring sessions, okay? So there's very little chance of him detaching a retina leading up to his fight. It's almost impossible. Unless he got thumbed. And I mean, you have to have a big long thumb to go through the headgear, and I just don't think it happened. So, mom speculating that he had the slightly detached retina from the car accident. I mean, look at the film. Just look at the picture. That's all you do. Look at the picture. Anyway, Errol Spence, and Terrence Crawford, of course, that was a big money fight for these guys. They were both going to make some money. One guy was from Omaha, Nebraska. Nobody knows much about Omaha except it's like the capital of Nebraska, and Ron Stander fought for the heavyweight title there one time, I think, against Joe Frazier. Outside of that, Omaha, or as the steward used to say it on Western Airlines, Omaha. Where are we going? Omaha? Anyway, Omaha is not a boxing hotbed. They can't sell tickets there. I mean, if Terrence Crawford fights at Omaha, so maybe 7,000-8,000 tickets at $20 a pop. How's he going to make his $1 million doing that? You can't. He can't make any money. He's like a fighter that's good, maybe too good for his own good, and he can't make any money because of the fact he makes bad decisions. Now, he and Errol Spence were supposed to hook this up at 147 pounds. Supposed to be some type of unification match bringing these two guys together, okay? And Spence was down with it, the 50% thing, but Crawford wasn't. Crawford wanted that 60%. You see, it means something to Terrence to have that extra 10%. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm the guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because he's got a really big ego. He does. I mean, whether Terrence Crawford wants to admit it or not, he's got a head problem. He just does, because if he didn't have a head problem, he'd have taken the 50%, and these guys would have probably fought already and made some big money. Instead, what's he going to do? Fight A, B's, and C's and make minimal amounts of money? Bottom line, it sort of reminds me of Shane Mosley. Jen Mosley was his wife. I met her. She was a wicked woman. You know, I can say that on the air. She was wicked. Anyway, and approved in divorce court as well. But anyway, she was his manager. So instead of taking like $6 million to fight Oscar De La Hoya in a rematch, she went and took $1 million to fight Vernon Forrest instead. Why? because Oscar was going to get more money than Shane Mosley. And Shane won the first fight. So she said, you know, we're not going to do this for less money. So instead of getting the $6.5 million, she got $1.5 million and got knocked out. Shane Mosley. Bottom line is, boxing is a game of decisions. People make decisions. Sometimes they have to live up to them. Sometimes they don't. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. We're expecting the return of the HBO Godfather next week. I talked about it a little bit earlier, the aforementioned Larry Merchant. Of course, Godfather's got lots of stuff to talk about. He was full of energy this week. We talked a couple of times. Also talked with his wife, the lovely Patricia Stitch. Of course, her being a former movie star and all that kind of good stuff. But it's good to talk to him. It's good to hear his voice coming back. I mean, when he was talking on the phone, he sort of sounded like a mafia guy, like Larry Merchant in the Mafia or something like that, who was on the phone. Because but now his voice is back and he's rocking and rolling. Anyway, we expect the HBO Godfather return next week. Of course, he wants to talk about Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is probably his favorite fighter right now. And you know, I think about this. I told you this once, twice, a thousand times. Manny Pacquiao is the closest thing to Muhammad Ali we've had in boxing ever. I mean, Joe Louis sort of held the country up during World War II, this and that, with the Germans and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. Because then Muhammad Ali came along. He sort of transformed boxing and the role of an athlete and the role of the heavyweight champion. And now Manny Pacquiao's come along. And, of course, he's run for congressman, senator, and eventually I think he will be the Philippine president. I don't know if he's qualified to be the Philippine president, but eventually he probably will be the Philippine president. And, you know, he's built homes for his people over there. He's put his money where his mouth is. I mean, he's just an all-around good guy. Do I believe in his religion? He's a religious fanatic. He drinks virgin blood. Cuddy, what's virgin blood? Cuddy don't know. Nobody knows what virgin blood is. I've asked a couple people on the show, hey, what's virgin blood? Like virgin olive oil? I don't know. Anyway, bottom line is Manny Pacquiao and their religious sect he was involved with. Of course, they were drinking virgin blood. That was part of the initiation. I kid you not. I read all about this stuff because he was, you know, saying that, remember he said that gay people should, like, you know, be destroyed or be, you know, they were committing sins and this and that. But yet he had gay guys in his camp. Man, talk about calling the kettle black. Huh? He had a gay guy in his camp and he's knocking gay people. Manny Pacquiao. So Manny's got some negatives, but he's got so many positives. What can I say? He is a man right now. Hopefully, he'll come through next week and set up a fight with either Earl Spence or Terrence Crawford. Then he will get his head handed to him. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and Vive TV, baby.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Did he hurt you or your children?
No, no.
No, you're okay.
Doing really just random stuff, you know, like, he puts holy water on me. I don't know what's going on with him.
Are you going to stop somewhere and meet with the police so they can talk to you?
Should I go to the police station?
That sort of... I want to laugh a little bit because, you know, that was a UFC fighter, a champion. His wife was calling the police on him. Bottom line is he was pouring holy water on her. He thought she was a devil. Anyway, they licensed him to fight afterwards. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Last week, August 3rd, I think that was a midweek fight, Michael Hunter was the winner over Mike Wilson. Of course, Mike the Bounty Hunter, they call him. He is the son of the original Mike the Bounty Hunter, the guy that I televised a couple of his fights on the Z Channel out there in Irvine, California. Of course, we went to China together, and of course, somehow... Anyway, all kinds of crazy things happened to Mike the Bounty Hunter in China, just put it to you like that. Michael Conlon was a winner over TJ Doheny. Of course, that was a fight last week. Geek Galahad continues to shine in the Battle of All Britain that took place last Saturday. Of course, he beat Jazza Dickens inside the distance. Ezamentis Stananoas had a no contest with Luis Collazo. Luis Collazo, of course, the former welterweight challenger. I think he's from Massachusetts, from that area, of course, the East Coast. He's a guy that's always ready to go, but he's never really ready to win. So you can bet that Luis is going to show up. He'll show up to fight, but he's probably not going to win the fight anyway. This was no contest. I think it was stopped on cuts. And, of course, fight say we'll get to a little bit later. Straight up, I want to talk about the great Salvador Sanchez. According to Matt here, it was 39 years ago, August the 12th, when Salvador Sanchez had that car accident, of course, in Mexico, where he ran into the back of the chicken truck. There was a chicken truck on the road. Check this out. He went out to fornicate. Can I say that? He went out to fornicate. And he's in training camp, right? He's going to fight Juan Laporte in the rematch. Now, Juan Laporte's not considered much of a challenger because he beat Juan Laporte handily the first time. And if anything, Salvador Sanchez was getting better and not worse. And, of course, you know, the fight was set up and he was training hard, but he wanted to get a little, recreational and fun. So he split to his girlfriend's house. He split to his girlfriend's house in the middle of the night and he was trying to get back. He got into his Corvette. Of course, I think Don King bought him his Corvette. Anyway, he's coming back from this girl's house and he realizes he's late. He's looking at his watch saying, man, if I'm not back, my trainer's going to knock on the door and realize I'm not there, man. And I'm going to have to hear all kinds of crap because you do not want to hear that kind of stuff from your trainers like Freddie Brown, guys like that in the morning. I mean, screaming at you. They just don't want to hear it, man. Just don't want to hear it. So he's going like 100 miles an hour to get back to training camp in order to try to beat the trainers, waking them up. He runs into the back of a chicken truck. He ends up killing himself. Somebody told me he was decapitated by the accident. Bottom line is, he's dead. Of course, the WBC Featherweight Championship was declared vacant at that point in time. Azuma Nelson had given him his roughest test up to that point in his career. And, of course, I saw the fight with Wilfredo Gomez, a battle of the little giants. I think it was September of 1981 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Of course, Gomez coming in 130 pounds for a 126-pound title fight. How do you do that? How do you do that? You know, you don't get on. I never got on the scale knowing what I did, not knowing what exactly what I was, down to the ounce. Okay, so Gomez goes to bed. Wilfredo Gomez goes to bed. He's like 32-0 with a draw and 32 knockouts. He goes to bed at 126 pounds. They put him to bed. They lock him up. They put him to bed. And these people are going, yeah, they're downstairs having a couple of drinks, kicking it, saying, yeah, he's in bed. He's cool. Well, he drank water all night. So he ended up getting up at 130 pounds. When he went down to weigh in for this 126-pound title fight, he weighed in at 130 pounds, which I think Jose Suleiman almost had a heart attack. He was the WBC president at the time. He was there at the weigh-ins, as was Mark Ratner, was representing the Nevada City Athletic Commission, I believe. Anyway, it was pretty scary, okay? I mean, 130 pounds for a 126-pound title fight, probably he's not going to be able to take off 4 pounds. He probably didn't take off the entire 4 pounds, but, of course, they had the big rumble, the battle of the little giants, a weight-starved Gomez against a prime Salvador Sanchez, of course. And, you know, Gomez came out rocking and rolling, 32 knockouts, 33 fights. I mean, you know where he's going. He's going for the stoppage. Well, he went for the stoppage against a guy that has a chin of granite. He had a chin of stone. There's no doubt about it. And he had that Popeye looking face. I'm talking about Salvador Sanchez. He sort of had that type of chin. If you want to hit it, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. So, you know, I mean, Gomez planted a couple good shots on him, but he didn't go nowhere. In the first round, Gomez in turn got his cheekbone broken. He got knocked down, either a orbital bone or a cheekbone, one or the other. Anyway, bottom line is he fought for eight rounds more with a broken cheekbone. The rematch never happened between him and Sanchez. It was supposed to go down. This was Puerto Rico versus Mexico. There was a salsa band in the ring. There was a Mexican mariachi band in the ring. I mean, every seat in the entire Caesars Palace Sports Pavilion was sold out. I showed up on the closed circuit TV, me and my buddy Hector Martinez, and I had called in sick from the San Francisco Police Department from the police academy. I called this, screw it, I'm going to see this fight, man. All right. So I called in sick from the police academy on the Friday, and they said, if you call in sick, don't come back. That was the whole thing when you were in the police academy. If you call in sick, don't even call back. Don't even come. Don't even down. If you're sick, yeah, blah, blah. Anyway, bottom line, you're supposed to go there whether you were sick or not. Yeah, right. Anyway. So anyway, I call in sick on a Friday. I go down for the broadcast on a Saturday. Of course, this big fight. And we, of course, had the weigh-in that morning. As I said, 130 pounds was Gomez. Sanchez right on the money at 126. Man, looking lean and ready to go. No doubt about it. Anyway, when you look at the entire broadcast, I'm sitting there watching like a day later. We got home watching on TV, like on VHS tape. And there I am. There are me and Hector standing there. Oh, man, this is not good. This is not good. I mean, I'm AWOL from the police department. I mean, I called in sick. They said, if you call in sick when you're in the police academy, consider that AWOL. Bottom line is, I guess you were supposed to drag yourself there whether you were dead or not and infect every other people if you were sick or not. Bottom line is, I didn't do that. I was kicking it in Las Vegas. It was a great fight. It was a memorable evening. Of course, it was probably Salvador Sanchez's greatest moment. I mean, outside of winning the title against Danny Little Red Lopez, and I never thought that Little Red Lopez was that much. I always thought he was a creation of my buddy Don Chargan, the promoter, in his matchmaking. Because, I mean, Danny was tough, but Danny couldn't win the Golden Gloves. I mean, if you took Danny off, if you took him away from that WBC title, right, and took him up here to San Francisco and said, you know, we want you to fight three rounds against one of these seasoned open fighters, it ain't happening. He ain't going to win. Yes, that's how bad he was. Anyway, speaking of winning in the Olympics, Ricardo Torres, what did he win? He won a silver medal. He lost in the final match of the gold against a guy named Jalilov. Just put it to you like that. Anyway, bottom line is, if you think his last name was difficult, you should have seen his first name. Anyway, Ricardo Torres Jr. now, what can I say? He's not the real deal. I looked at him a little bit. I mean, I watched a couple of his fights. He's not nothing I'm worried about as far as if I was a heavyweight contender or a heavyweight pretender or anything like that. If I say to myself, look, if I got to worry about anybody coming out of the amateurs, it ain't him. Sorry, but it ain't him. It ain't Torres. I mean, everybody was excited. Oh, he's going to fight for the gold. You know, this ain't George Foreman. This ain't Joe Frazier. This ain't Muhammad Ali. This ain't one of these guys fighting for the heavyweight gold. This isn't even Tyrell Biggs, okay? Anyway, bottom line is, I think that Mr. Torres will have a limited professional career at best. Ooh, did I really say that? Yes, I just did. Anyway, Keyshawn Davis. Keyshawn Davis was fought in the lightweight bout. Of course, he fought Andy Cruz, I believe, of Cuba. And Davis came in at 3-0. 3-0 with three professional fights. He had three professional fights with two knockouts, and he had the audacity, I was going to say that B-A-L-L-S word, but he had that, trying to keep this PG. But he had the audacity to go into the Olympics and go back and turn amateur. I mean, come on, man. I mean, my whole dream was to get into the Olympic trials. I mean, I did. I went to the Western Olympic trials. Of course, the Olympic trials was the final process. They had the Eastern Olympic trials, the Western Olympic trials, and then they had the Olympic trials. So anyway, I made it like number 13 in the country back in the day. That was a long, long time ago. Anyway, we were all hungry. We wanted to fight. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was there. I mean, but I didn't want to be fighting Aaron Pryor, and I didn't want to fight Ray Leonard, because Ray Leonard was my, I mean, I fought at 139 pounds, okay? Probably should have fought at 132 now that I look back at it, and Hector probably should have fought at 126. But anyway, I would have been fighting Ray Leonard. Ray was way too big for me. I found out that I was small at 139 pounds, even though I was bigger for 139 out here on the West Coast, and I was stomping ass out here. I mean, you take me down in the valley there, I was like, I laid out every farm worker they put in front of me. Ooh, did I really say that? Yes, I just did. Anyway, bottom line is, when you step up to the upper echelon of amateur boxing and or boxing, you realize your shortcomings. I realized my shortcomings in that fight with Vincent Webb in the Western Olympic trials when I lost that decision. The fact that he was bigger than me. He just was bigger than me. And I was never used to having guys bigger than me. Taller than me? Yeah. Keith Rucker was 6'1". Like 8 seconds in the fight, he was horizontal, 8 inches tall instead of 6'1". Anyway, bottom line is, you know, tall guys I understand, but I mean big guys. You know, Vincent Webb was both taller and more muscular, and I was just blown away by that. Anyway, it was just me not being at my optimum weight. I think that right now, when guys want to come back and want to fight in the Olympics after fighting professionals, I think Vitaly Klitschko was thinking about that. Vitaly Klitschko was the guy that was supposed to represent Ukraine in the 1996 Olympics. He tested positive for, are you ready for this? Flintstone vitamins, a.k.a. anabolic steroids. So he was disqualified from the 1996 games. And his brother Vladimir, you know, the guy with the bad chin that Emmanuel Stewart saved and recreated. Yeah, anyway, that guy. Vladimir went on to win the Olympic gold. So Vitaly, because he missed his Olympic moment in 1996, he wanted to come back a few years ago and fight in the Olympics because they were going to let pros fight in the Olympics. Man, that's sad. You're letting professional basketball players, this is not for pros. The Olympics was always about the amateur status. It always was about the amateur status. And I don't care if Russia and Cuba, I don't care if they subsidize their own teams and their teams really aren't amateurs. They're like in-house professionals. I don't care. Bottom line is, we've got a good amateur program here in the United States if people invested money in it. Bottom line is, amateur sports, people don't give a spit. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Of course, the new network picking us up, Vibe TV. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My heart,
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
You use so many big words, how would you trick a man?
I'm not going to trick you. You know I'm not going to trick you, Mom. Wouldn't think of doing it.
You're being extremely truculent.
Whatever truculent means, if that's good, I'm that.
You are not a stupid boy.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
My mother said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. And I found out later on in life that she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. I didn't know Mom was an Ali fan, but that's what she told me one day. And the bottom line is, Christy Martin, remember her? Of course, the coal miner's daughter, the baddest woman in boxing, no doubt about that. In fact, the baddest woman pound for pound I've ever met in my entire life. In my entire life. And I've met women, I've never met a woman that survived the gunshot wound and a stabbing at the same time. And that was her ex-husband. Jim Martin, this crazy guy, who was a trainer for a while, but the bottom line is he was the most insecure man in the entire world. Anyway, he shot her and he stabbed her when she told him that she was going to leave him. She was leaving him. I'm leaving you, baby. And instead of him saying, okay, go to the lawyer and get the divorce papers ready, not that kind of good stuff, he shot her and he stabbed her. Both! He shot her and he stabbed her. Now, this guy should rot in jail for the rest of his life. I believe he still is in prison. But the bottom line is, she survived. And of course, she's got a card going to go down on pay-per-view. It's going to go down August the 28th. They're calling this Mayhem in Myrtle Beach 3. It's going to be $11.98. Christy Martin Promotions, of course. Let's see. Deal of the Devil, of course, that's going to be the new story. That's on Christy Martin on the, as far as Netflix is concerned. They got a new series coming out on her, so I guess this is going to coincide with her promotion, but we will get a sneak peek at that, of course, in the upcoming weeks. If you've got Netflix, if you don't, I think YouTube will also have a couple of previews on it, but she'll have a card going, and we'll get into that in depth on tomorrow's show. But the bottom line is, Christy Martin rocking and rolling, and you know, you can't say enough about Christy. Anybody can get shot and stabbed. I'll say it again. I may be overdoing this and like shot and stabbed but still lived. I was a cop. Okay. I saw a lot of people get shot and saw some people get stabbed. Okay. Never saw the both, but I saw death from either. Never saw the both. I couldn't imagine both getting shot and stabbed and not dying. That's what a bad mama Christy Martin is. She's got this card going down. General admission is going to be $45. It's going to be at the Crown Reef Resort. That's on South Ocean Boulevard in Myrtle Beach. She's got some good guys on the card. I'll get to that in depth. Carlos Venegas and Humberto Gonzalez. Is that what it says here? Anyway, bottom line is she's got a big card. We'll get into that in depth tomorrow. Of course, there are fights tonight, and I want to get to them. But first, I want to mention the UFC. Of course, the UFC is a failure that it is. It had UFC 265 last week, which they put on pay-per-view. And I'm willing to bet that Cuddy was the only one to pay for that pay-per-view. Now, Cuddy's telling me he didn't pay for it. So if he didn't pay for it, that means probably nobody paid for it. Now, why would you not pay for a pay-per-view? Because it probably wasn't worth shelling out $70. I mean, Dana, my favorite pimp. Of course, that's my opinion as a former policeman and as a journalist, that Dana White is a bit of a pimp. Anyway, he put a UFC heavyweight title fight on the card, and of course, without the heavyweight champion. Sort of sounds like the sanctioning body like the WBA. Anyway, bottom line is, Cyril Gane was a 3-1 favorite. He beat up on Derek Lewis so bad they stopped in the third round. It was like, turn your face away. I mean, you know, attorney, I mean, it was that kind of brutality. It just wasn't worth watching there at the end anyway. It stopped at 4:11 into the third round. They have a new interim champion in Cyril Gane. Do I think he can rumble with Francis Ngannou? Styles make fights, and who knows? But I think Ngannou hit so hard that he can knock out Cuddy, me, and every heavyweight contender in the entire world if he hits us. That's how hard he hits. I kid you not. And I don't think that he's going to be limited by the fact that he's an MMA fighter, because he was a boxer before he was an MMA fighter. Talk about Francis Ngannou, the current UFC heavyweight champion. Now, he's lost 3 fights. I think he lost the aforementioned Derek Lewis. I think he lost to Stipe Miocic, and he lost another fight that I can't remember. But the bottom line is, I don't think he's going to lose for a long time. I mean, the beating he threw on Stipe Miocic is sort of indicated that the UFC's weight classes are, they're wrong. I mean, one guy weighed close to 265. The other guy weighed about 220. Okay? It just wasn't cool. I mean, the size difference, like this and this. It's like, holy cow. Anyway, bottom line is, Stiffy Milkshake got lit up. I mean, no surprise there. That was like one of those fights you had to turn your face away too. In other words, I'm not into turning my face away. I think that combat sport should be civil enough to where you can watch it, okay? But the UFC, they allow these bloodbaths to continue and continue. And guys, I call them bloodbaths or death matches. Of course, Brian Ortega, he's got an upcoming fight against, for the featherweight championship against Volkanovski. That's going to happen in a month or a month and a half. We'll talk about that maybe next week. But the bottom line is, I think he was destroyed as a fighter and maybe as a human being when they let him take that beating against Max Holloway. I mean, here he was one round into the fight, and these are 5-minute rounds, okay? And he was beaten. He was beaten. He was cut. He was beaten. And he had no answer for anything that was going on. None! And they let him take another 2.5-3 rounds of beating. Another 15 minutes! They let him take another 15 minutes ass kicking. So some guy can kick back on his, you know, and smoke a cigar and get entertained. If that's entertainment, sorry, pal, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. Fighters shouldn't be destroyed. That's why we went to 12 rounds instead of 15 rounds, if you didn't know that. People say to me, hey, your buddy Suleiman, Jose Suleiman, when he changed the fights from 15 rounds to 12 rounds, he ruined boxing. No, he saved boxing. Why do I say that? Because I see these guys, these 15-round fighters. The 15-round fighters, there's no sense of fighting the 13th, 14th, the 15th round. Everybody's spent by the end of 12 rounds. Why fight the 13th, the 14th, the 15th round? You just know that somebody's going to like get seriously hurt, or somebody's going to take some serious time off their career. And that's what the 13th, the 14th, the 15th round did. It took time off their career. The ass whooping Brian Ortega took in the hands of Max Holloway, it took time off his career, if not his life. Anyway, bottom line is, Dana's a piece of work. Anyway, Jose Aldo was the winner last week. He beat up on a guy named Pedro Munhoz. Pedro, are you still around? Is Jose Aldo still around? He's like, I don't know, like 3-5 or 3-6 in the last 9 fights. But he hasn't had a good road. But he's making 135 pounds. In fact, this was a former 145-pound champion. In fact, he lost that title at 145 in the blink of an eye to Conor the Drunk McGregor. Speaking of McGregor, of course, that broken ankle that he came up with a fortnight ago in that fight with Dustin Poirier. Of course, Dustin Poirier getting ready to close the show anyway. He was getting ready to close the show. I mean, that was the luckiest thing that could ever happen to Conor McGregor. How can you say that, Pedro? Getting a broken ankle where it like snapped in half? Yeah, it was the luckiest thing ever, because the whooping he would have taken, and they would have let it go because, you know, I'm Conor, you know, all that kind of good stuff, that tough stuff. They'd have let it go because he was Conor McGregor, giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he would have taken an ass whooping that would have ended his career without a doubt. His career was meant to end against Dustin Poirier in that third fight. It just didn't happen. Or maybe it did, because in 2 years, he's not going to be able to discipline himself and come back in 2 years. He tried to tell the world that he stopped drinking. He wasn't drinking for this last fight. Come on, man. It was pretty obvious that once you hit the weigh-in, you could sort of see that he was a drunk that was in training. A drunk in training. I'll talk about that in depth in another show. But the bottom line is, you can see guys that dry out and drunks, they dry out a little bit differently. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, boxing tonight, rocking and rolling. I like Virgil Ortiz. I mean, I really do. The kid's unbeaten, and he is unbeaten. I mean, you can't say enough good things about him. His father trains him. Of course, it's a family type of thing. They got it going on. Of course, 17-0, 17 wax. He looks like a little kid. He just does. He's like, what is he? How old is he now? 22 years old. Okay. And he's going to fight tonight. Of course, guy, we talked about this name before. Eddie Cala. Anyway, bottom line is, Epitus is 22-1-1, and he's going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. They're going for the WBO International title. This is 147 pounds tonight, but this guy is the real deal. Of course, he beat Maurice Hooker in his previous fight, knocked out Maurice Hooker in 7 rounds. He was a former champion, 140 pounds. Before that, he beat Sammy Vargas. So he's beat some good guys. Can he continue and move up the ladder at 147? Put it this way, Manny Pacquiao didn't ask for him to step in. They could have had him step in a minute, probably. If they offered him the right money to step in and fight Manny Pacquiao after Errol Spence, I mean, he's training. He was in a fight like a week before. He could just chill and come back and weigh in a week and a half from now, right? They didn't want Virgil Ortiz. 17-0, 17 wax, I wouldn't want him either. Anyway, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence, that ain't going to happen. The guy that's going to fight Errol Spence, of course, will be a doctor. It'll be an ophthalmologist. That's who's going to have the big fight with Errol Spence. Going to lay him down on that table and see if they can repair that left eye. Now, whether it can be repaired or not surgically, that's still a matter of opinion. Of course, Ray Leonard had his eye repaired. Remember when Ray got it done, he got to detach it. And I think he had detached it either in the Marcos Geraldo fight, that was a middleweight fight, a non-title fight that he had, or the Tommy Hearns fight. It was one or the other. Anyway, bottom line is he detached that retina. And sort of, you know, he knew something was wrong with that eye. Anyway, at the end of the day, he went and got the surgery, took a couple years off boxing, came back. I think he quit in 81 or 82, 81, and he came back in 84 when he took on that guy. I can't think of his name now. Anyway, he took on a guy at 154 pounds with these no thumb gloves. He tried that for a while. That didn't work either. He said, nah, I'm not going to come back for a while. I won't be coming back. And of course, he came back 3 years later and took on Marvin Hagler and beat Marvin Hagler over 12 rounds, which should have been a 15 round fight. But you know, Marvin said, okay, I'll go 12 rounds. Ray said, Marvin, this is a 15 round scheduled fight. If you go 12 rounds, I'll give you an extra $5 million. And Marvin said, okay, I'll take the money. And he said, Marvin, if you let this ring go to like a certain size ring, I'll give you some more money. Oh, okay, I'll let you do that. And, if you let me do this, let me do that. Bottom line is, Ray Leonard bought his way to the middleweight title. I'm not trying to say he didn't win that fight. Of course, he won 7 out of the 12 rounds, but all the pre-fight moves that he made, that's sort of what sealed Hagler's fate. Because Hagler just figured he would just go out there and, you know, and beat down the smaller guy, but it just didn't happen. He tried to outbox him at first, which was like crazy. I mean, that's what Marvin did. Marvin tried to outbox him, didn't work out too well. He tried to outbox Roberto Duran. After 12 rounds, he was getting beat by the former lightweight champion. So bottom line is, you go out there and do what you do best, destroy people. Marvin Hagler couldn't do that with Ray Leonard. Why? Because he conned himself into thinking he could box better than Ray. So he went out there and tried to box to Ray Leonard. Didn't work. He and I bitched about that. He and I argued about this back and forth. I think on different continents. I think we talked about this in Mexico City. We talked about this in Spain. We talked about this in Buenos Aires. In other words, when I saw him, because he knew I scored a 7-5 for Ray Leonard, and he and I talked often about the fact that the one judge that voted for Marvin Hagler in that fight on April 7, 1987 was Lou Filippo. Lou Filippo was my buddy. We went to China together, went to Japan together, went to Spain together, went to Switzerland. We went all over the world together. He was a noted referee, a former fighter, a noted referee, and a boxing judge out of LA. So he had a 115, 113, or 7-5 in rounds for Hagler. Now he stuck by that score, and I stuck by my score of 7-5 in rounds for Ray Leonard. Now how did I get away with telling Marvin Hagler this? I said, Marv, I said, you gave away the first four rounds, so all Ray had to do was steal three rounds down the stretch to win a decision 7-5. Oh, he grumbled this and that, but that's just what he did. And you know what's funny is that corner of his, of course, that hobo corner, talk about Goody and Pat Petronelli. Yes, Marvin was loyal to them from the beginning to the end, but they were like Bush League, man. I mean, they weren't even AAA class in that corner. I mean, they're looking around like this, like they're about to get robbed. They're going, hey, Marvin, keep doing what you're doing. Marv, you're losing. You're losing. You are losing on the scorecards. Don't keep doing what you're doing. Do something different. But Marvin didn't have a plan B, I guess. He didn't. He just didn't have a plan B. He couldn't get himself in a condition and he motivate himself enough to go out and try to destroy Roberto Duran or Sugar Ray Leonard. He did it with Tommy Hearns, but he couldn't do it because he was forced to. But he couldn't do it with Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Vibe TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're cute.
And you're higher than a kite.
The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamalier. You know, Jeff, Pleasant Hill, California, former Tower of Power alumni. Wish Jeff the best. He's always a great, great musician. Anyway, bottom line is I want to mention some bad news. One of my childhood buddies, Ralph Sapp. We grew up together. Of course, I was his mother and my mother were the best of friends in the 60s. I kid you not. So anyway, he had a couple of strokes. They're talking about brain surgery and things like that. It's never any good. It's never any good when they want to do that. So I'm not willing to play, I'm not playing taps for him right now, but it's not looking good for Alsap. We wish him the very best. Of course, tonight, as I mentioned earlier, Guillermo Rigondeaux is going to be on Showtime. Joshua Buozzi and Richard Bolakis are going to hook it up on DAZN. DAZN's also got, Virgil Ortiz versus Egid Cavalokuis. Put it to you like that. If anybody can say this guy's name, and say it like 10 times in a row, I'll give you $20. Seriously. You can say that guy's name, first and last name, 20 times. I'll give you 10 times in a row. I'll give you $20. That's like a hard one. Anyway, Virg Ortiz will be the star of the night. No doubt about it. Check it out. He's going to be on the zone. Of course, the welterweight sensation, 17-0, Wax. People say he hasn't fought anybody yet. But then again, who did Terrence Crawford fight? Ooh, did I really say that? Yeah, Terrence Crawford. I'm sort of down on Crawford today. Why am I down on Crawford? Because I think Crawford's made a lot of mistakes. Why has he made any mistake? Why has he made the mistakes he's made? Because I think Bob Arum is his manager. I think that's what's going on here. I really do. People say, oh, Arum screamed about paying him a lot of money to fight in this thing. Doesn't want to pay him millions of dollars to fight in this thing. I just thought that was Arum pontificating. He was like posturing in this thing. Because I think that Arum is his manager. I never heard a manager for Terrence Crawford. I mean, I always hear that Bo Mack or Big Mack or whatever his trainer is. His trainer is sort of like the guy. So I always thought that Bob Arum was his quasi-manager. That's the way I thought it was going. And when you look at Terrence Crawford's life, as far as his life as a professional fighter, it looks like Arum's making most of his matches because all the matches he makes, he can beat these guys. Now, I'm not trying to say he wouldn't beat anybody on the planet. I'm not trying to say that. Of course, he moved up from 135, 140, 100 to 147 pounds. I mean, he's put on the weight nicely, no doubt about it, but he's still a small welterweight. Earl Spence, he's a welterweight on the shelf. Terrence Crawford's going to be a broke welterweight for a long time because he screwed himself out of a big money fight both with Manny Pacquiao and Earl Spence. I'm going to say, you don't take 60-40 when you're the low guy on the totem pole. You're the low guy on the ladder, man. Come on. I mean, how can you be the B guy and go in there and demand 60%? What can I say? Shane Mosley did it. Look what happened to Shane. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking into the world of boxing and MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours on the Sports Byline USA channel on Twitch.tv. Of course, Vive, the Vive TV network is picking us up. We're working on that as far as distribution is concerned. So there's all kinds of things happening here as far as the Ring Talk Live Worldwide family's concerned. So I'm excited about it. Bottom line is no doubt about that. 37, make that 30 plus years now. Who thought I would still be standing? The undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio race? No doubt about that. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk and WBC Boxing TV.